Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
He was born in Joplin, Missouri, and grew up in the Midwest, but Langston Hughes is now forever associated with Harlem, when Harlem was in vogue, as he said. Hughes was perhaps one of America's greatest poets, but he was much, much more than that. He was an activist. He was a dissenting voice. He was a role model. He was the dream keeper that he wrote about in 1932. Bring me all of your dreams, you dreamers. Bring me all of your heart melodies that I may wrap them in a blue cloud cloth.
Away from the two rough fingers of the world. And that is what poetry may do. Wrap up your dreams. Protect and preserve them and hold them until maybe they come true. Columbus dreamed of finding a new world. He found it. Edison dreamed
That's
of light,
Langston Hughes there
more
reading
light,
his own poem, The Dream Keeper. Almost All 20 years later, he'd write about a dream deferred, drying up like a raisin in the sun. But his work as a poet is well known. His poems are read even by grade school children, analyzed by college kids. Today, for his 110th birthday, we want to celebrate the life and legacy of Langston Hughes by remembering what may have been forgotten by most Americans, his life as a musician. Terrence McKnight, weekday evening host on WQXR, New York Public Radio's classical music station, joins us. He's the host of I Too Sing America, Music in the Life of Langston Hughes. It's a program that tells the story of Hughes' life in music, including the tale of his collaboration with William Grant Still, my grandfather, on an opera called Troubled Island, and we're going to talk about that. That program premieres tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern on WQXR. Hi.
Hello, Celeste.
All right, so we just heard the voice of Langston Hughes there, and I want to start our conversation by hearing it again. Here's the poet reading from One Way Ticket.
I pick up my life and take it with me, and I put it down in Chicago, Detroit, Buffalo, Scranton, Harlem, any place that is north and east and not Dixie. I pick up my life and take it on the train to Los Angeles, Bakersfield, Seattle, Oakland, Salt Lake, any place that is north and west and not south.
You know, you listen to that, Terrence, and the first thing that I think of is it makes a perfect lyric. You can put a melody to that without changing a syllable. So how did Langston Hughes make this leap into music, if leap he made?
Well, Langston Hughes, I mean, as you said, is synonymous with the Harlem Renaissance. So the blues and jazz grew up with that, with the Renaissance, and Langston was right there. He was right there as those musics evolved, and so he was listening and he was participating in that movement. So he just became, he was always very musical. I mean, he grew up going to plays and theaters, opera. You know, his grandmother loved Christian hymns, so music was always a part of his life. So as the Renaissance developed, he developed with it, and he wrote poetry to go hand in hand with the music.
Well, let's talk a little bit about his songwriting. Is it accurate to call him a songwriter?
Well, Langston Hughes wrote song lyrics, and he was a bit of a melodist. He always had these secretaries that were musical or that were musicians. And so he would, you know, he would hum a tune and they would pluck it out of the piano. Is that it, Langston? No. I think it's the note right up above. And so he would sing out the melodies and they would write them down. So we have examples of his own melodies.
All right. This piece here performed by Nellie Lucher.
The phone don't answer when I call. I can't connect with you at all.
From 1950, what are we hearing?
It's a song that that Langston wrote. You know, Langston said, God bless me with ASCAP. Because in between writing...
the American Association of Composers, Artists, and Publishers,
that's right.
Right.
Because he, you know, he became a member of ASCAP early on in the 1920s. He decided that he wanted to write songs. And so he started writing songs and wanted to make royalties from this music. So he wrote tons of pop songs. He was giving his lyrics to Mahalia Jackson, Lena Horne, anybody who would take his lyrics. Ellington, he had a dream of writing a song with Ellington. So... songwriting was always important to him throughout his whole career.
And, you know, of course, he's known for his poems, but he also wrote a lot of plays. And it was one of his plays that caught the eye of my grandfather, a play that he had written about the revolution in Haiti. And together they wrote an opera, which at the beginning of that collaboration, Langston loved writing these lyrics. Here's a bit from the aria that actually begins the opera. This is Little Black Slave Child from the opera Troubled Island by William Grant Still and Langston Hughes.
Little black slave child, no slave to me, you are my son.
Right, so this is the very first grand opera composed by African Americans, the first to be produced on an American stage by a major opera company. It was the first opera ever done at the New York City Center. Tell us about what we learn about Langston Hughes from these lyrics.
Right away, little black slave child, no slave to me. You are my son child who must be free. We learn of his activism. You talked about his activism. His grandfather was worked on the Underground Railroad in Oberlin, Ohio. So he grew up learning about his ancestors being activists. And so right away in this opera, he's saying, you know, you're a black slave child. They may call you a slave, but you're no slave to me, and you got to be free, and we're going to revolt. We're going to revolt tonight. And so this is what this opera was all about. It was about freedom and the responsibility that comes with that freedom.
Debuted in the 1940s, and I should mention, has never been performed again, amazingly enough. The other thing we learn, well, I know from his collaboration with my grandfather, and they were longtime friends, was that Langston didn't like the editing process. He didn't like going back over and having to change stuff that he'd written.
Who does? Who does?
Well, one thing Langston said, he said, I wish that we were one, kind of like Wagner, you know, that one person wrote the music and libretto, so it would just be all one stream of consciousness.
Well, you could say stream of consciousness. I just don't think he liked to change anything that he wrote. And in fact, during that time, he became an expat, and it was difficult. We were thinking back to the 1940s. It was difficult to make those edits when you were writing to Langston, who'd out of frustration with the racism he was seeing in the United States, had become an expat in Europe. How did that affect his musical career, travel during the time that he was living in Europe?
Well, you know, in the 30s, he traveled a lot to, he traveled to Russia and China, Japan, and he was reading poetry and he was writing articles. And, you know, Paul Robeson was on the scene then. And so when Langston, and he wrote a poem that, about the church, about Christ, that just, you know, haunted him for a long time. And he actually, the FBI, he was on their watch list in the 1940s. So that
as a suspected communist.
Yeah, so that did affect his career, affected perhaps some of the funders that would approach Langston. And so that was a moniker that he wore, you know, throughout his life.
And,
some
and
circles.
But he didn't shy away from political, I mean, it's not something that he tried to hide from. But let's get back to his music, because we just heard a little bit of his classical music. Obviously, a lot of his poems, without any involvement from him, have been set to music as art songs by classical composers. But this is from Black Nativity. It's a retelling of the classic Nativity story, and it's sung in gospel. He wrote the original show. Let's take a listen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody asks me
who you are.
Langston, are we hearing this time?
We're hearing that Langston that sat on his grandmother's lap and heard those Christian hymns. We're hearing that Langston that grew up during the Harlem Renaissance when gospel music and Thomas Dorsey was evolving this music. So Langston, by the 60s, he was bringing all of this together, his activism, his love of Christian music, and his pride of black creativity. You know, gospel music, as I said, was just coming along, and nobody around the world really knew about gospel music until Langston put it on the stage. And, you know, Black Nativity, Tambourines to Glory, all of this stuff started touring around the world, you know, in festivals. And so through Langston Hughes, the world knows gospel music.
Obviously a huge influence on the literary community, but also, as you know, Terrence, he's considered to be one of the founders of the what was jazz poetry, the very beginnings of what was a new art form at that time.
That's right. And it goes back to the 20s again, when Langston, he had, you know, gone to Columbia for a while, didn't like it there, and decided to go to Africa. And he was there for 6 months and ended up in Paris working at a club called the Grand Duke that was run by a fighter pilot, a black fighter pilot who fought for France, Eugene Bullard. And Bullard was a boxer and he was a manager at this club. He brought in all the talent from New York. And Langston was a dishwasher. He was, well, actually the second cook, but he ended up washing dishes and bussing tables. And he would listen to the jazz and think about his poems and think about how to, you know, recite his poems to the music. And it's something that he did, you know, up and through the 60s.
A legacy that still lives on today. Happy birthday, 110th, to the artist, the poet, the activist, the playwright, the columnist, and musician, Langston Hughes. Terrence McKnight, thank you so much. Terrence McKnight, weekday evening host on WQXR. His program, I Too Sing America, Music in the Life of Langston Hughes, premieres tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern on WQXR. Thanks, Terrence.
Thank you all.
Century of Langston Hughes and a few minutes bumping with Terrence McKnight. You can't do better than that. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.